Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Welcome back. NBA Finals are set, and after losing Game 6 in Boston on Friday, the Celtics, man, we have talked about this record, 6-0 now after losses they improved to in these playoffs as they advance to the finals to face John at Golden State, team that'll be, I suppose, a little bit more rested. Exciting looking forward to the finals that'll start on Thursday. Golden State, a 3.5-point favorite. Last I looked, there is the Bing. Oh, John, by the way, Tigers pick up a big man, too, while we were gone. Hopefully everybody while we were gone, too, had a nice, safe holiday break. But excited to talk about this big because I see Duke can touch the top of the backboard. Pretty impressive physically.
Yep.
Curious to get your take on how skilled this big man is.
Well, that super athlete, that's the first thing that
whether
you
we can pronounce his name.
And we will definitely do that. We will get into what the commitment represents for Memphis. Did they find their starting five this weekend? Some other draft decisions coming up, right? The deadline for, you know, the withdrawal is June 1st if you wish to return to college. Mm-hmm. You can stay in past that, but you would lose your college eligibility. So tomorrow is D-Day for several players around the country, including here at Memphis, right? We're still awaiting the decisions officially from DeAndre Williams and Les Quinones, which we will get to here in just a moment. We got a big show planned for you today. Jessica Benson's going to join us at 11:25. She joins us every single Tuesday, so we'll talk to her about the finals matchup and more. And then at 1:25, Jason Fitz is going to hop on, and we'll get into some NFL with him, get into some college football. He was filling in for Feinbaum last week. Also previewed the NBA Finals with him. So that is the show today. But, man, we have a lot to knock out. Let's do Cap or No Cap.
Cap. It means lion, but built different. Now it's Cap.
I'm going to say Cap.
For No Cap.
I'm going to say that's No Cap.
On 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Which one of these are a lie? Which one of them do you guys think is real? The finals will be a classic. Is that Cap or No Cap?
We're owed that. I will say that the Heat and Celtics did end up playing two pretty good games there to close out that series. They were much closer than really the rest of the conference finals had been. Mm-hmm. You were getting these just wildly skewed games, you know, in both series, right? Like Golden State was wiping the floor with Dallas. Dallas came back and won game four by a million. You know, Boston and Miami were trading 25-point blowouts. So I will say that series did tighten up, which I enjoyed. And look, they overcame a 15-point deficit in Game 7, did Miami, and they had a chance there with Jimmy Butler to take the win, or at least take the lead and presumably hold on for the win. They still would have gotten the ball back, so who knows. But, yeah, I mean, I think it could be. I mean, in terms of what you want in a finals, you got it. You got star power all around this mug. You got Steph, Clay, Draymond, Tatum, Jaylen Brown. You know, you got vets like Al Horford.
This is his first trip, too, huh?
Yeah.
Happy for Al Horford.
Absolutely, man. And he's been huge for them. I mean, they have ridden that dude mm-hmm. every step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Smart, obviously, you know. So, yeah, I mean, what you want in the NBA is, like, name brands, star power, in terms of, like, what's going to move the needle. We got that. So, yeah, I think all the ingredients are there for this to be a classic. Whether it will be or not, I mean, that remains to be seen. But I would lean more towards this being a competitive series because I just don't see Tatum going out sad like that, you know?
Right.
And they can guard. They have a pretty good system there. I don't know if Boston can win it, you know? That's going to be very difficult. But I could see it going – I mean, for it to be a classic, it'd have to go 7, right? It can't be a classic going 6.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose we think of that. We think of 7. Now, if the 6 are all close, John, I'm fine with calling a classic if it goes 4-2 and they were all close.
I'll say no cap. I think it should be a great finals. I'll be optimistic. I'll be hopeful about it. Yeah, I'll say no cap. It's going to be a great series, and it's going to be a zigzag series. I think it goes 7, and then you know it's going to come down to can Boston win one last road game in San Francisco. I think that's what the series comes down to.
So these two teams were number 1 and number 2 in the regular season in defensive rating. Boston was number 1, Golden State number 2. Boston's been number 2 in the playoffs, Golden State number 6, so not much drop-off there either. But in terms of defensively, you know, we talked a lot about how good Miami was. They were 4th in the regular season. Golden State was better. So from that standpoint alone, going to be very competitive.
Yep.
The two best defensive teams in the regular season.
Yep.
You talk about the star power, and you're right. You can go on each side of it.
Yep.
You've got to give Golden State, though, the nod in terms of having their star power, having the experience.
Oh,
right?
There's
having,
no doubt.
Having been to this stage, this represents a breakthrough for this group of Boston players. So there's no question about that. You give the star power and the experience edge certainly to Golden State there. But I'm with you that I think it can still be close. I don't think Golden State's experience advantage here, especially with here's the thing. I said it earlier. Boston's 6-0 after losses. Whenever you punch them for whatever reason, they respond. That coaching staff responds with adjustments. Jason Tatum usually responds individually. They play better after losses. So even if Golden State hands them, mm-hmm. you know, what I figure will be, I mean, you got to be pretty heavy in Golden State's camp for game one,
yep.
especially with Boston coming off that type of series.
Yep.
You got to expect Boston still to answer in game two. That's at least the way they've gone. Now, two things, something's got to give here. Golden State's 9-0 at home in the playoffs. Boston, we said 6-0 after losses, so you get to game two if Golden State's indeed won game one, and something's got to give there. That said, I think it's set up to be a classic, John, too, because we're due that. Boston has responded well when they've lost. I don't see Golden State hitting them with some shot, and Boston goes reeling mm-hmm. like some rookie team that hasn't been in the finals before. They know how to respond. So
right.
I think 6 or 7, and I still think we can have classic with 6 so long as these games are close.
The last classic series you would say would have been that LeBron title in Cleveland, right? When they came back down 3-1.
I mean,
that was the last one. Was there one since then?
I mean, that's as dramatic as it gets
yeah.
on that one. I don't know, you know, that's as – we certainly haven't had anything more dramatic than that.
Right.
Since.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, that's kind of the – I mean, that's more or less –
I don't know if we're going to get that.
But I think that, you know, look –
You're talking about 3-1 comeback?
The talent is yeah. there, though. Yeah, I mean, it won't be as dramatic. But I'm just saying in terms of, like, I like the fact that we – and I do believe this. As much as I love the Miami Heat, there is no question that that would have probably been a 5-game series.
Let me tell you something. Golden State better not be loose with that ball against this Boston team.
Yeah, you know, Boston will be loose with it too. Like they'll be throwing that ball all over the court. Man.
Well, again, Boston again regular season not nearly the team that would throw it around like Golden State's been doing this regular season and playoffs. Just throwing the Boston was a top 10 offense in the regular season. I think Golden State 15 or 16.
Mm.
So part of that was how bad Golden State was with the turnovers,
mm.
and they've done that throughout the playoffs for the most part. It wasn't as bad. It can't be as bad as it has been, I don't think,
yeah.
I would tell you, the number one defense in the NBA. You do that, you're giving Boston points. You can't turn the ball over like you have against this Boston team. They're going to score too many against you.
With that
you
being
know,
said,
Brown and Tatum will turn
with that
points.
Being said, I don't think Boston can win this series.
They can.
I mean, they can. Anything can happen. I don't think they will.
Yeah, you're predicting Golden State.
I got Golden State
prediction.
7. I mean, I think it does go 7. I think there's going to Celtics. The script
actually,
is
I'm in 6.
Golden State wins game one. Boston wins game two, and then we'll see what like they don't protect home court nearly as well as Golden State does, right? Like that's the issue with Boston.
Mm-hmm.
They will let
lose
you come
at
up
home.
In there
oh,
and
yeah.
win.
Yes, they will.
And Golden State's the team that can do that and will do that, right? So I do think they find a way because they're going to have to win a game. They're going to have to win a game, maybe two. in San Francisco for this to go seven. So, you know, this is going to be very, very difficult. So I'm going to roll with the seven because I want it to be a classic. I want it to be a great series. But I got to go with, like, the stars have kind of aligned for Steph and the Golden State Warriors this year. You know, like, this kind of feels like their last chance to win one. Because things are going to, like, come back to the median next year when Kawhi comes back and the Clippers, you know, Lakers are going to make moves. Like, it's going to get tougher for them.
Might be the last best chance. I still think they're in the mix next year.
Oh, yeah. They're not going to just fall off a cliff.
No. Not with everybody back.
I think if you injected everybody in that locker room with true serum, they would say the exact same thing.
Oh, dude, I told you that when Phoenix lost.
Yeah, like, things have just broken for them.
And, like, they believe.
And they have to take advantage of that.
They believe more. So I got Golden State in six. You got them in seven.
Yeah. So we get to the same spot. But anyway, the finals is set. Game one is on Thursday. Every single game right here on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Steph or Tatum will be the finals MVP. Is that cap or no cap?
No cap. It's whether you think Klay Thompson or Jaylen Brown can take it from one of those two guys.
Yeah.
We both just picked Golden State. Do you see any way that Klay Thompson or Draymond, it certainly won't be Iguodala, is not a threat to Steph like he was the first year there. He took one from Steph. KD got the other two. So does anybody from Golden State, since we both picked Golden State, take it from Steph?
No.
If they win,
Klay Thompson?
Klay cannot. Klay is not good enough anymore to do that.
He's been great in closeout games against Memphis, and we saw
series. He'll have these, like, moments, right? But he doesn't. Like, Steph will be, if Golden State wins, which they most likely will, yes, it'll be Steph that takes it home.
I think so, too. Like even if Andrew Wiggins.
I would take Andrew Wiggins over
Klay. Performs as a stud as he's been all playoffs, there will be such a great pressure. As long as he doesn't miss everything he puts up, there will be such a great pressure on the NBA to give it
and
to
Steph. And
that
gets voted, right? That's voted on by media?
Steph will get this.
Yes, it's Steph's award.
Especially, we're picking Golden State. We're
to be honest with you, Steph might even be the guy that gets it if they lose. Like, I know that's never happened.
No, that's not happening. But if they lose, Tatum will get it.
There's going to be such a pressure to give Steph that
hardware.
Don't you
feel that way? He's going to get it. I mean, and he's going to be gunning for it.
I mean, I'm assuming, bro, that's going to be, like, so heavily. Like, if you wanted to bet that right now, like, I'm assuming that is so heavily juiced in any specific book you want to go at, like, I bet it's going to be like -250, -300.
Wow.
I mean, that would be my guess. I don't have it in front of me, but because I mean, there is just naturally going to be, you know, urgency, right? Because he's never won the award. I mean, that's the bottom line. He's never won the award. So I'm assuming that's going to be the way.
Would anybody on the Celtics, if they were to somehow get this thing a little further in, maybe seven, maybe win it, who would it be besides Tatum?
Only Jaylen Brown.
That's what I said.
Brown or Tatum, right?
I mean, you know, Marcus Smart is a dark horse because he can have, like, triple-double type nights, you know. But it's, again,
right?
It ain't going to be anybody
else. Yeah, with his health, I mean, he missed games. He's missed games in these playoffs. So I just think the threat for Tatum, he's not much of one to me, is the guy you said. I think it's Jaylen Brown.
Okay.
I just think if they win, Tatum will have had to have been great. Yeah. Tatum's taking the next step. You just saw him as the MVP of the last series. I think it has to be Jason Tatum for the Celtics, and I think it has to be Steph Curry for Golden State. It'll be Steph Curry.
Cool. Tigers basketball. We got some news over the weekend with the transfer from UT Arlington that everybody is discussing his interesting pronunciation of his name. They got a starter over the weekend. Cap or no cap?
Yeah, so KO. KO for short. KO to Richie Akabundu Ayoku. Is his pronunciation.
I mean, you flowed on that.
Strong.
Very confident.
And that'll be the last time. I'm right.
KO is the short.
I got KO. KO. I have to like sort of brace myself right for that pronunciation. Mm-hmm. But yes, we stuck the landing and we're gonna go out on top. But KO committed to the University of Memphis over the weekend. 6'9", 202, redshirt sophomore from Nigeria. Averaged 4-4 basically last year at UT Arlington. He has an amazing story. He just does. His story is amazing. He started as a walk-on at UT Arlington basically through a DM from Mike Schmitz, who is now in the front office for the Portland Trail Blazers. I mean, like, that's like happenstance.
Life comes at you fast.
Wow.
Mike Schmitz, formerly of ESPN.
Yes. Mm. And so now he has committed to play for the University of Memphis. And look, here's the thing. Nobody is going to come out here today and say that this guy is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or Wilt Chamberlain or, you know, take your pick. Jalen Duren.
We want to know. We want to know if he's a starter.
Is he better than the dude on your roster from East?
But there is no question in my mind that he is going to start for the University of Memphis next year. If the bar is he an upgrade over Malcolm Dandridge?
Yes.
Yes. Not even a...
Interesting. Okay.
This is... Malcolm can't even set a screen properly, and he's a senior in college, you know. What I like about KO... What I like about KO is that he knows what he is. That is one of his biggest strengths to me. He knows he's not this post-move guy who's going to demand the ball, who's going to try to make, you know, 15-foot elbow jumpers. Like, he's going to be a guy who rim runs, who runs the floor, catches lobs, block shots. That is all he's going to be. That is all he's going to want to be, and that can get you paid in the NBA. He's not going to be trying to come in here and be anything other than what he is. Is he their first option? No. But do I think he's a good fit? Absolutely. Look, you're building this team around Kendrick Davis, DeAndre Williams, and Lester Quinones, which we'll get to here in just a minute. You don't need to bring in a Jalen Duren. It wouldn't work. You would have too many cooks in the kitchen,
well,
as
there,
you say.
There aren't any Jalen Durens out there either.
Right, and you're not getting that anyway.
Part of that.
So based on what's available and what you may or may not have missed out on, I like the fit for Memphis. This is not a spin job. He comes in. Look, I saw this stat. His 13.9% block rate last year was higher than Anthony Davis's in his first year at Kentucky. Now, I know that all things are not the same there, but this guy is coming in as a legitimate elite shot blocker. And I love that about him. And I love the fact that he's a super athlete and he's raw and he could conceivably, with a year under Penny Hardaway, develop and get better. Are his numbers going to jump off the page at you? No. But this was a guy that was getting NBA workouts. This was a guy who was on the NBA's radar for his raw intangibles, for his tools. I like guys like that, and especially guys who are coming in here humble and knowing who they are. So, yes, Memphis got a starter this weekend. Was it their first choice? No. Can he be a contributor and make an impact for Memphis? Yes.
I'm going to roll with you that they got a starter. What I'm more concerned about is that they got a guy who can finish games. Moussa Cisse was a starter and a guy who came in much more elite, obviously, much more heralded, but was a shot blocker, right, who we found out was a little bit too raw offensively, mm-hmm. was a liability at the free throw line to where you couldn't have him in at the end of games.
Right.
And
that's
so
right. Yeah.
so that's more important to me right now. I'm with you. This from a physical standpoint, from what he can do athletically, this time of year and what's available,
right.
Who it looks like you might have missed out on, who stayed in the NBA, good get, right? You need a five. You need a guy, back to John's point, who can play his role. Right, who's going to rebound, block shots for you, and hopefully, John, contribute to what you have to hope for Penny Hardaway is another top five, top 10-ish defense. Right, for Penny, it's all about defense and having a guy on that end that can help you. Right, be a rim protector. You've got that, but what you also need is a guy who can be in the end of games and finish games off for you. You don't to your point about Malcolm. If you got to go back to him at the end of games, well, have you really? You haven't checked all your boxes. If you know what I mean. So hopefully, John, from a free throw standpoint, from an offensive standpoint, he's not going to be so much of a liability, because I can't wait to see what he can do defensively, so much of a liability that he's not on the floor for you at the end of games, and you're having to go back to something you may not want to in terms of whether that's Malcolm or some other point. It's depth. It's a good addition at this time of year. And hopefully, yes, I'm going to go with you that this guy's a starter. Again, starter might not be the most important thing.
Well, KO, to that point, KO shot 86% from the foul line last year.
That's nice.
Malcolm shot 48% from the foul line.
Oh, jeez.
And a year ago, Malcolm shot 36% from the foul line.
You don't want to have to go to Malcolm. That's the point.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to go to him.
But like, how many free throws did he shoot?
Could you go to Chandler? Let's see. He shot. He's only shot 31 in his career. He's 23 of 31 in his career. So he's not a guy that's going to get to the foul line a whole lot. But he's not a complete liability when he gets there, right? I mean, he's just not. Malcolm is less than a coin flip for his career. Like, the odds are better that he misses the free throw. He's 47 of 107, yeah. 44% free throw shooter for his career in Memphis. Like, that just is. And again, it may not just be him. It might be Chandler.
You don't want to have to go to Malcolm at the end of games.
No, but look, I again,
hopefully this guy can finish them for you.
I'm going to give Penny the benefit of the doubt here on this one, because he's building his roster a specific kind of way, right? He's building his roster around Kendrick Davis, DeAndre Williams. You need a guy that's going to, in Lester Quinones, which we'll get to, a guy who can complement, add some real defense theoretically, and who's not going to be a malcontent or, you know, complain if he's not getting touches.
Sure.
You know, and I think that's, like you said, given what was available and what was on your roster, yes, I think this is a quality addition. I might look stupid in 6 months. I might look like, you know, oh, the John's just saying that a guy that Penny got, which, by the way, has never been my MO. I'm not sure where that came from. But I tend to believe that this young man is going to make an impact. Is he going to be the AAC Player of the Year? No. But that's an award we've already set aside for Kendrick. Right? We've already given Kendrick that award. Mm-hmm. So we just need a guy's going to come in here, quite frankly, if we're talking from Penny's perspective, that will know his role, trusts me to develop him. And ideally, in a year, I have taken a guy in KO who is a fringe workout guy right now to perhaps playing his way into the NBA draft. That's the goal, you know. So, and I think he's coming in here with a good attitude, with the right mentality. So I'm going to give it a chance. We could be looking up in 5-10 games, and he can't be on the floor, you know. But I like the tools. I like the physical piece of this. And so from that standpoint, yes, I do think they, at least to start the season, have identified a starter.
All right, let's go to Lester Quinones. Lester's decision for next year is up in the air. Is that cap or no cap?
Yeah, so the deadline to withdraw is tomorrow for early entrance.
Okay.
You can stay in past tomorrow, but you can't keep your eligibility in college if you stay in past tomorrow.
Okay.
So you have today and you have tomorrow. And I want to say I saw somebody tweet about him having a workout with Golden State tomorrow. So he's got lots of workouts. There have been tweets about him showing well.
Shooting very well.
In these.
Remarkably well.
But what I heard over the weekend was that where there was a time maybe 2-3 weeks ago where the whispers were that he was coming back, now there's some suspense. Now there's some some thought that maybe he does end up keeping his name in. And I talked to 4 different people about this, some scouts, some not, some affiliated with the program, some not. Scouts have said to me that he has been telling them that he's staying in, though they cautioned that most kids say that, right? Most kids in their conversations will say, because you don't want to like waste anybody's time here, right? But yeah, I think there is a thought that maybe Lester could get a two-way, even if he does go undrafted, right? And that seems to be likely that he would go undrafted right
and
now.
That seems risky.
And so now you're basically weighing a decision. If you're Lester Quinones,
he's got Lakers today and Golden State Wednesday at 2:00.
Okay, yeah.
Good workouts.
You got 2 workouts. So if you're his agency, right?
Yeah, you're there.
You're like, yo,
yeah.
I mean, we're getting workouts, man. You know, you're DeAndre Williams had no workouts.
Right.
Right. I mean, there's clearly
a talent disparity.
You see what
there.
I mean?
Yeah, no, totally.
So if you're an agent, right, and you're trying to, you know, whatever, you could use those as evidence to back up whatever point you're trying to make. Look, the decision that Lester's got to make is this. Are you going to be able to, at Memphis, improve your stock considerably from this season to next? And if the answer is no, which I think we would both agree that it is, right? Like at this point, he is the prospect that he is. Then are you going to make more money at Memphis, or are you going to make more money at the NBA level or the G League level or whatever it would end up being for him? And I think that's all got to be, you know, that's weighed, right? That's all kind of, you know, up in the air. And I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I think the answer probably is Memphis. Like if you were asking, like, I have to decide for this young man's life, you know, next year specifically, not career, but next year, I would say Memphis. And my case would be whatever is out there for you right now will be out there for you again.
Right.
There is no, unless you're just done with college basketball, then what's the hurry? You know,
I wonder if he's created a nice buzz, too, that would serve you well going into another college season where then you've got maybe more eyes on you based on the way you've shot the ball in these workouts and even more time to work on your game and some of the other areas where there might still be some questions.
Yes.
I'm hopeful that Lester's still in the fold and that these workouts, while he's been great in them, will just be that. Will serve him for the future.
And
that he can make more financially from.
And I think the people that
Memphis.
I think if he were asking like the, you know, people that he trusted outside of sort of his bubble that he's in right now, right? I think they would tell him the same thing, that there you would almost be making a mistake in some ways unless you have some kind of guarantee. Unless you have some kind of promise or guarantee that you're going to get a two-way or that you're going to get drafted in the second round, you're taking a gigantic risk. When at Memphis, like, there is, an opportunity. You know,
even more so, it just feels like you're definitely one of the featured pieces.
100%. And by the way, like this whole thing about role, dude.
Minutes have always been there, but now even more shots in terms of the green light. You got expected to be there.
Maybe Kendrick will help that too by a distributor.
Yes,
I mean one of their few shooters at least so far.
Every single year of Lester Quinones' career, he has finished in the top 2 of minutes at Memphis. There are players.
Minutes have always been there.
Like Malcolm is not going to get sleep tonight, right? Because he's wondering, like, what am I going to play next year? They bring this guy in. Lester Quinones never has to worry about that.
But hasn't the offensive chunk and how much of it's been somewhat, I know NIL, all that too, yeah. But hasn't my role in the offense in terms of wanting more so you can do more, you know, hasn't you, and you got to expect with Nolly gone, with Tyler gone, those shots,
yep.
Kendrick's going to be looking for somebody to knock shots off of his passes.
Oh, he's the number one dude.
That role has gone up.
You're
the number one feature role in terms of right now.
No, like really what it is, it's like the old days of Dame and C.J. McCollum, right?
No, after Kendrick.
Yeah, like he's going to be the C.J. McCollum to Kendrick Davis's Dame Lillard, you know? Like that's absolutely going to be.
So there's more role.
The role.
Yeah.
But
minutes have always been there.
No, again, when you're getting, you know, when you're hearing things, when there are people that tell you necessarily, you know, what you want to hear, right? Especially when you're there and you're in that bubble, like,
well, yeah, and you've shot it the way he apparently has,
right? And he's got workouts, so he's like, yeah. he's feeling, you know, all that love and stuff. So look, Memphis needs Lester Quinones back. There's no two, because like they're not going to be able to at this stage in the game. I know they're involved there with Kerwin Walton, the kid from UNC, who a mm-hmm. year ago really shot the ball well.
Yeah, as a freshman, yeah. Right? But then fell off.
It's tough. It's tough to replace that guy specifically, right? Like, and you can't. I don't think you can. That same on the same token, you're never going to try to tell a guy don't go to the league. That's what your entire program's premise is built on, getting right. guys to the league. So it's one of those things. You'd love to have him back. You need him back, because if you get him back with DeAndre, him, Kendrick Davis, and then, you know, whatever else they happen to add, that's a damn good nucleus. They could compete in the American, go back to the NCAA tournament. Lose that, you got to make some things shake, right? And Penny can do it. We've seen it happen, but not ideal. So we'll see. It's up in the air. Again, I'm not saying that he's not coming back by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just saying that I was a lot more confident about it 2 to 3 weeks ago.
Is there a time on that deadline tomorrow?
I think it's like, he's got the workout with Golden State, so it's got to be
exactly.
Probably midnight, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's got to be like 11:59 or something that night, I'm assuming. So, I don't know. He does that workout. Maybe, you know, it's just interesting. Like, what's going to be like the, you know, the moment, the impetus for the decision? Is it going to be like, if you have a great workout with Golden State, either you're like, all right, I'm in? Like, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what the motivation is there. But we'll come back. Jessica Benson's going to join us. We'll talk NBA Finals with her, get her thoughts on the NBA and more. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
FanDuel Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the 75th NBA Finals. And to celebrate 75 years of the NBA, we're giving all customers a $75 referral bonus. That's right. You'll give and get $75 insight credit when you invite friends to join America's number one sportsbook. Here's how it works. Invite your friends from the app. Make sure they sign up with your referral link. And as soon as your friend makes any bet of at least 10 bucks, you'll get a bonus. Offer ends on June 2nd when Game 1 of the NBA Finals tips off. That's Thursday. Don't miss your chance to bet the finals with a bonus. If you're new to FanDuel, you can also sign up with the promo code JSmith to get free bets after your first bet. That's promo code JSMITH. Just head over to the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Invite your friends today to get $75 sportsbook credit. That's only on the FanDuel Sportsbook app, the official partner of 99 FM ESPN. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Referred players must wager 10 bucks or more within 28 days after signing up. Limit 10 referrals. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-97.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jessica Benson joins every single Tuesday. Catch her on Rise and Grind. Catch her on the Grizz Radio Network. Now, I don't want to make this uncomfortable. I'm not offended. I didn't take it personally. But I saw the invitations have clearly been sent out for this wedding. Again, they weren't sent to the studio, right? But the is it finals themed? It almost looked like it was NBA finals themed.
I must have gotten the Entercom or the Odyssey address mixed up. So my deepest apologies. Maybe they'll come in the secondary market. Yeah. I hear it's gonna be a hot ticket to scalp coming up in July. So like best of luck on secondary markets. But yeah, no, it's we did a ticket for our invite, so it's like a championship game. Obviously, sports are a huge piece of our lives. We met at the Olympics, so trying to figure out like little small non-tacky ways to incorporate that wherever we can. But we're very pleased with them, and now it's like we're 2 months away from the wedding. It feels very real, which is absurd.
Do you have like, I'm assuming you have all of the, you know, major stuff figured out, right? Like you feel pretty good about where that is?
Yeah, it's so strange. Like everyone always tells you, and we've been planning this wedding for 3 years, so because it's been so spread out too, it's not like it's like a tidal wave necessarily, but things just go wrong. Like it's just what happens. Like our entire welcome party had to be replanned a week ago because it ended up costing like three times more than what we were originally quoted because, you know, weddings and pandemic and coming out of all that. And so we just had to completely change it around. And you just have to learn how not to panic and recognize it's a day and the people who you want to celebrate with are going to be there and you're going to be there, hopefully. And other than that, like the rest just kind of fills out itself. But it is crazy, just the small details that you don't even really think about. We're now turning to a seating chart, which is kind of fun, but also kind of like traumatizing to try to figure out.
Well, we know which way your fiance, a huge Golden State fan, leans. Which way are you leaning as we look to these finals starting on Thursday? Is it do you have to lean Golden State, Jessica, because of the relationship you're in? Is it true to your feelings? Do you think they'll win?
I feel like I don't have to, even though it would benefit me to, because if I ride in hoping that the Warriors are having some small smidgen of hope, then it makes it more fun for me to watch the games with Chris, ultimately.
Yes.
But I also do legitimately think that, like, heart aside, my head goes towards the Warriors. And I think the Celtics, I really hope that it's a great series. I think we all deserve to have a classic, invigorating, like close games galore. I know we got a good game ultimately in game seven between the Celtics and the Heat, but I don't know. There's just something left to be yearning for when it comes to the NBA playoffs and now going into the finals. So I hope it's close, and I think the Celtics have the ability to make it a series. I just think where you look at with the Warriors figuring all of this out, and if they're able to get Gary Payton second back, which it looks like they are, mm-hmm. and then maybe you even have a situation where you can throw in Andre Iguodala. I don't know exactly what he's going to do. He's like the coach there on the sidelines at this point. But just all of that coming together at the right time, and then nothing replicates the experience that you have with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. Like, they've been there. They are now trying to get back there with this reiteration of the group and on their way into the kind of the vintage part of their NBA careers. I think they're just built to last. Now, that said, like, that could completely go out the window because they've also gotten some pretty lucky breaks throughout the playoffs so far. Getting the Grizzlies where John Morant goes down didn't make them the toughest test that they could have been for them. The Mavericks finally stopped hitting their threes. You know, things have worked in the Warriors' favor. So the Celtics team will be a tough matchup, but I do feel like it could go the Warriors' way.
Back to the Heat-Celtics game for just a moment. You know, I just put myself in a if that had been the Grizzlies, what would I be coming in here today and saying? But the idea that 3 points can just be taken off the board without
conclusive evidence, and without any sort of explanation from the officials at the time, 15 minutes later, like, what kind of precedent are we setting here? Like, I just feel like if that were the Grizzlies and Desmond Bane hit a three and they decided to review it and they said, oh, well, it looks like he was out of bounds. They take the three off the board and the Grizzlies lose by two. Like, we would be feeling some kind of way, especially if it was a game seven. Like, how does that happen?
I mean, it just adds one more thing that if you're a part of the Heat fan base or any fan base who gets put in a situation like that, you just look back and you're like, come on. Like, how is this a thing? And we were watching the game at a sports bar in New York, and when something like that happens, it's so hard to figure out what's happening when you're watching at a bar and not on your couch.
Yep.
Sound and any explanation. And so then we're hopping on Twitter and trying to, like, filling in the blanks, and you've had a couple drinks, so you're not at, like, the best form of mind. So if it's confusing to us, it's got to be confusing for the people in the building as well. But ultimately, it's just, I don't know, it was like the ultimate reminder that for all the teams except for the two that make the finals, and then you're going to have a team that feels some kind of way ultimately when one team walks away with the championship and the other doesn't. It's all part of the journey, and that's so dumb, and everyone hates to hear that. But even listening to Kyle Lowry's comments about it being a waste of a season, and I understand feeling that way in the moment, but when you look back on it, it wasn't wasteful. You still made it to the conference finals. There's something to take out of that too.
In terms of, obviously, the tests that even without Steven Adams, without Ja Morant, that the Grizzlies still managed to be for Golden State, has it, you know, and watching Golden State now having advanced to the finals, has it changed anything in terms of your expectation level for the Grizzlies next season, in terms of where you think they should be? No, they shouldn't fall any further down than this in terms of seeding. We know next year's a different year. We know the Clippers, especially with Kawhi back, that's an entirely different conversation. But for you, did anything about the way the playoffs have gone or the Grizzlies in particular change the way the expectations you have for them next season?
No, it's made me really excited because I think it truly is looking at a group that is built for this past year and the seasons leading up to it, the last three, I guess you could say, have all been building for this moment where the Grizzlies are a legitimate contender and can play with the big guns in the West. And you don't see that. And that's where, you know, going back to Kyle Lowry's comments, I get it, because, like, if you're the Heat, that feels like that window is closing quickly when you're in Miami, and it might not have the same situation. Meanwhile, now you're looking at a team like the Boston Celtics where, you know, you think back in 2018 and when they lost to the Cavs in seven and it was tough and you got LeBron James and that never feels good. But they thought they were built to last then. And then ultimately, like, Kyrie Irving has all his drama and Kemba Walker has his injury and Gordon Hayward is gone and Al Horford is gone the first time around. And now it's been like a little chug and choo-choo train to get them back to this point. But now they're going to the NBA Finals. I think it just once again illustrates there's a certain level of luck and just chance and how things come together. Yeah. But ultimately, it comes down to having a smart front office who knows how to manage the pieces and put those pieces in place. And I think the Grizzlies front office thus far has done nothing but demonstrate that they're worth trusting and that they know what they have. They know that they have a superstar in Ja Morant, and now getting all the cast of characters around him to really give the Grizzlies their best chance at being one of those teams that ultimately makes the NBA Finals. I think it's hard not to get excited and already look forward to what next season could represent here in Memphis.
All right, so what does a perfect offseason for the Memphis Grizzlies look like? If we come back into training camp and we all say, we all feel, man, that was they absolutely nailed it in the offseason, what happened?
I thought you were going to say, what does a perfect offseason for Jessica Benson look like?
And you're living it.
Say,
you're
well,
living it right
I just
now.
Went.
You're living
I got
it.
To see some awesome musicals in New York City. Went to a wedding, planning my own wedding. No, I mean, I think first and foremost, everyone's healthy. That's what you really hope. And there are business decisions that are going to have to get met, dealt with when it comes to the future of Tyus Jones on this team and Kyle Anderson on this team. And, you know, are you able to bring in some more shooting this offseason and put another critical piece there that gives the Grizzlies yet another offensive weapon and doesn't necessarily take away from what they can be within their defensive identity. But you want Ja Morant to come back just raring to go and to have that chip on his shoulder, which he always had. So, like, I think it's just permanent at this point. But you want Jaren Jackson Jr. to be ready to, all right, you proved that your availability was something that could be relied upon last year. Stay healthy, stay on the court, somehow take some, like, magic lessons in how not to foul out of games and figure that out. But you look forward to another big summer from Desmond Bane, and then, like, Desire Williams take a page out of Desmond Bane's book and their rookie seasons weren't, you know, equitable in that sense, but you can look at him already teaming up with Desmond Bane and wanting that development piece of it to come to his game, and then suddenly, oh, is he taking a leap forward in year two? You just want everyone to get one step better. Then, you know, you made it to the second round of the Western Conference semifinals this year, so one step better, what would that lead you to next year? Sky's the limit.
You as hopeful as my partner that they'll be able to retain Tyus?
I'm hopeful is an appropriate word. I think there's certainly a chance, as there always is, and I think a big part of that chance is just like the camaraderie that this group demonstrated. And when you listened to every single player at the end of the year talk about how this was some of the most fun, if not the most fun they ever had playing basketball for a team. And Tyus Jones won a national championship. Like, those kind of experiences are fun, but to get that collegiate vibe in the NBA, it's a rarity. And so I think there's something to be taken in that. But ultimately, Tyus Jones, when you listen to him speak about his desires to be a starter, and right. He can say all he wants and kind of like speak around it in that, oh, well, I always see myself as a starter even when I'm coming off the bench. That mentality is great, but there is the, you know, the ego piece of it that plays into everyone in this world, and Tyus Jones does have the skills to be a starter somewhere. So if that ultimately, along with the financial piece of it, add up to him being somewhere else, it's a business decision when it comes down to that. But hopeful, yes, because we all know how valuable Tyus Jones was for this group, both in a sense of being able to carry that load when John Morant wasn't available to play, and then also just being that sturdy backup point guard that every team needs.
We'll get that correct address to you during the break.
Yes,
here.
Please do.
So we can
Thank
make
you.
Sure we don't have any kind of confusion, right?
Thank you. Plane tickets to Seattle are really cheap this time of year, so right. I would recommend getting on Kayak immediately.
No, we're driving. We're pulling a Calkins.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You guys are taking the van.
That's right. We're going to hop up in there. It's going to be a 92.9 and buy. Yeah, 100%.
Incredible. Yeah. Are you going to broadcast live all week?
Road trip, man. You already know.
All right, cool.
I mean, because
The women's amateur is being played at the golf course that we're getting married at the next week, and Memphis's own Rachel Heck is supposed to be there. So you guys can just tack it on.
Expensive.
Beautiful.
Well, yeah. Well,
report. Can I expense report my wedding? Can I make that happen?
To be honest, probably.
Like, okay,
I would send it into Hoops LLC and just see what they say.
Just see what happens.
Yeah, just see what they say. Hey, Jessica, appreciate
Thank
it as
you,
always.
Jessica.
Good deal. I'll see you guys.
Yep. She is Jessica Benson, joins us every single Tuesday here on the
we could
show.
Oregon Trail out there. What's she? Is it Seattle?
Yeah, I think outside of Seattle, right?
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about dysentery as much, right?
It's not as much of a concern as it used to.
Typhoid.
Yeah, because we're not going to drink bad water.
You got to worry about
That's funny. I was getting in a minivan. She noted the minivan there.
Yeah. You got to worry about monkeypox now, though.
Would you let Calkins drive?
Sure.
Oh, you would?
Yeah.
And feel, you wouldn't be watching the road the whole time and, like, feeling unsafe, holding on to the...
No.
I don't know about you. Would you? You would get in a car with Calkins and not feel like you needed to navigate?
Does he have a reputation as a bad driver or something?
Just dumb that he's... Is he paying attention?
No, I think he pays attention. I think he's actually the one you want to be with because he does these cross-country trips all
Dude,
the time.
I've heard Jeff do his show from the road. He's done commercials from the road.
Yes, yes.
I've always wondered, how are you driving safely?
Oh, he's doing it from memory.
And doing the commercials
as well. He's amazing.
Yeah, he's doing those commercials straight from memory, bro. He's not reading
them. But when you are that focused on doing the commercial, are you really focused on driving?
Yeah.
I think it's just second nature to him.
Or you just keeping it in a straight line, bro.
It's like his right hand. He just knows.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Like, I think he could pop out of Robert Irwin Jr.'s live in his sleep, bro. I mean, it's not. He's been doing it for, you know.
I know he can do it in his sleep, but you have to. There has to be some major bit of focus still on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And there must be some folks to get that out without stumbling, all that kind of stuff.
No, I think Jeff drives everywhere. Like, the man is a seasoned veteran.
It's not okay to text and drive, and but okay to do a Robert Irwin or
that's
live
not really,
and drive.
That's not for me to decide, man.
I think he has two hands on the wheel even doing it.
Yeah, you could be on. He could have headphones in, right?
Yeah.
What if he has headphones in? Does that change the? He does have I don't know if they're AirPods specifically, but he does have.
Well, Jeff does the commercials. I'll drive.
Okay.
Right, we're all talking about being in the car together.
Yeah.
Right, and being comfortable and safe.
Yeah, but that his minivan's a tank too, though.
Oh, it'll make it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just they're definitely. I'm not really worried about that. So we'll get with Jeff and.
We have to get invites first. It doesn't sound like we're going to get.
No, I think they're coming. I really do.
Yeah,
I think they're coming.
No,
there's a brand new mock draft out at ESPN.com. Obviously, the Grizzlies are involved. Some interesting names associated tied to the Grizzlies. We'll get into that and more when we come back. Jason and John
selling a little. or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, it's Turner FM, ESPN. All right, so there's a new mock draft up at ESPN.com. We're going to be seeing a lot more of those, right, as we get closer and closer to the NBA draft. Less than a month away, right? Yep. I know you're excited about that. Grizzlies have two choices in the first round.
Always active. Always moving up, the Grizzlies are. So, yeah, why not? Why wouldn't you be excited?
I would not bet on the Grizzlies selecting two players in the NBA draft. Feels like a lot based on, you know, you kind of want some guys who can be ready for you in the next 2 years, right? And guys that are in the, at the end of the first, unless you're finding the next Desmond Bane, I mean, the odds are against you, right? The odds are against you in that. So I would not be surprised if they at least, maybe they package those, move up. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of flexibility that you
have
with those. But the latest mock draft is out. Number one, Jabari Smith.
Seems to be the consensus now that Orlando will take him.
This is from ESPN. Number two, Chet Holmgren. Number three, Paolo Banchero. That is going to be the way it goes.
Who's going to be the best player out of those three? Who's going to have the best career?
Well, let's take Chet out, because it ain't going to be him.
Man.
I'm out on Chet, bro.
Woo, that is a proclamation by John Martin.
I could tell this the last time we talked about him and his potential effectiveness in the NBA. John got very passionate about
I think he's going to struggle with the strength in the NBA.
He's against Chet.
Look, who is that? There was a kid was it Robert Swift or something? Like, was a big, tall dude that got drafted by Seattle many, many years ago. I think that was his name. That's kind of the vibes I'm getting right now with him, man. Yeah.
Didn't you kind of get a preview, though, against Jalen? I mean, he played pretty well against a strong Jalen Duren.
He had a good game against Jalen, no question about it. But Jalen is raw, too.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think all things equal, raw versus raw, yeah, Chet's going to have the edge. But against, like, real NBA bigs,
yeah,
I think he's going to have a hard time. I just do. And I think most bigs can guard outside in the NBA today. There are very few that can't. They get played off the floor.
All right. Well, the question was, which of the three is going to have the better career? We see where you stand on Chet Holmgren. Is that Banchero or is that Jabari?
I will go. I think they're both going to have really good careers. I will go Jabari, though. I will go Jabari by a slim margin. I think he's got a little bit more of a defensive ceiling than Paolo. But I think Paolo's going to be a multi-time all-star. I think his offensive box is just really, really deep. And he's going to step into a great situation in Houston with Jalen Green and Kevin Porter and Christian Wood. And Houston's – I don't know if they can guard, right? But I know they can score the hell out of the ball. So I think Houston could be in the mix for a playoff appearance in, you know, two years, right? Maybe sooner. Who knows? It could happen pretty quickly in the NBA.
Well, they got Jalen Duren in the mock draft. Back to what you have in front of you.
Oh, the Spurs. Yeah, they got him going ninth to San Antonio. So I'm not sure about that one. I'm not so sure. I mean,
I just like that they got him still in the top 10. Calkins was asking me last week if I thought he might fall out of the lottery. I said, "Guy, I hope not.
No,
not with that athleticism, and again, not with the basics and some of the potential that are there from a shooting standpoint. We know he's not in terms of the guy that can step outside, the big that can step outside, the guy right now that can consistently do it. But you like the shot mechanics. I've always liked that about Jalen Duren, whether it's from 15 feet or eventually maybe, I said it with Calkins, like a Serge Ibaka where you could stand in a corner and knock down an open one eventually. I think Jalen Duren can get there. I think with all that, you add the physical things he brings to the table, the athleticism, he remains a lottery pick at least. Maybe outside he falls outside top 10, maybe, but not outside the lottery. That's right. My hope.
Yeah, exactly.
Surely. I mean, all these teams would be missing a guy who at some point is going to be able to contribute.
I talked to a scout of a team that's picking in the top, I don't want to narrow it down too much, I'll say top six. And he told me that they love his offensive potential.
Yeah.
They love his passing. They love his physical tools. The questions that NBA teams have are going to be, do we think he's going to be our long-term five? Is he able to effectively guard that high post, you know, top of the key ball screen, right? Can he do that consistently? We don't want to have a Steven Adams situation if we're picking Jalen Duren, where if we get into a big-time playoff series and we have a cat on the other side, we can't play Jalen Duren.
Jalen Duren can move.
Yeah,
up there, like he's more athletic than Steven Adams.
Yeah,
like he can grow into that role.
No, I think you're right.
Yes,
I mean I think he's a top 10 pick.
I don't think he can be as good defensively as Jaren because there's elite level there.
Yeah,
but can he survive up top on the screen? Absolutely, he can. Then they're going to be a good player in the NBA for a while.
Yeah,
I feel solid about that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think it's more. How much does he want it? Work ethic, that motor. Because there'd be some times you'd question that here, and that was the question coming into Memphis. I think it's still a question on him.
Yeah.
There are times where, you know, he goes invisible on you, on the league, with much more, with athletes all around you, you know, that chance goes up. So he's got to separate himself. Hopefully he can continue to do that as a lottery pick.
In terms of other guys that you would care about, 13th, Josh Minot going to the Charlotte Hornets.
Wow.
I lied on the radio. A lot. I just wanted to get a rise out of Jason, man. I just wanted to get a rise out of Jason.
Well, you didn't. You got a rise out of Brad because he thought you'd...
I was just Joe listener over here. Yeah. I kind of got a shockwave when you said that. You know, like, I don't know how these boards work.
No, well, I mean,
because you got some people out here that think that much of him.
Well, John Hauser's got him top 10.
Like, let me ask
and
you
And that's
this.
Probably why he's not working in an NBA front office anymore.
That's fair. I actually think that's fair.
I cannot believe there's a lot of lovers out here of John
Hollinger in this market.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.